going to continue to look at the book of Proverbs topically. The next topic we want to deal with concerns contention and strife, or disputes and conflicts between individuals that cause discord. In the Proverbs that we'll look at tonight, we see that this contention and strife is something that is often stirred. That is, it's something that is often worked up, provoked, and incited. We see also from the Proverbs we'll look at tonight, it is something that is sown or deliberately caused or created and brought about. When you sow something, you do it on purpose. Same with stirring. We see also that it is said to be kindled. That is, it is set fire to. But a person who has obtained wisdom does not seek to stir contention, does not seek to sow it, does not seek to kindle it, but instead seeks to, as we'll see, appease strife. And sometimes contention, of course, is necessary. We see in Jude verse 3 that we are to earnestly contend for the faith, but even then we're to do so without developing a contentious spirit. But contention itself is a breeding ground for that which is very dangerous, that which is very destructive. Notice in 1 Timothy chapter 6, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 4, pick up where it says, "Doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh," that is, this is what it results in, "envy, strife, railings," that is, complaints and murmurings, "and also evil surmisings." Contention is prone to result in conjectures, speculations, assumptions, imaginations, and many times these things just keep the contention going. It may not necessarily be accurate as far as our assumptions or imaginations, but evil surmisings arise from contention, and these things just continue to feed the fire. James in James 3 and verse 16 said, "For where envy and strife is, there is confusion." That is, there is uncertainty, there is disorder, there is chaos, and every evil work. In other words, there's much sin where there's contention. So because of the danger of contention, because of the destruction that it can cause, God's people are encouraged to seek peace with all men, Hebrews, Romans chapter 12, that as much as lieth in us, we're to live peaceably with all men. Matthew 5 and verse 9 refers to blessed be the peacemaker. Then notice in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14, it says, "Strive not about words to no profit." That is, there are contentions that just are not necessary. Contentions that are simply a waste of time. Things that really do not matter. Things that really, as far as eternity is concerned, as far as spirituality is concerned, do not matter. And those are the contentions that usually cause the most trouble in a church. There are a lot of things, spiritual matters, that churches ought to contend for and they don't. And then there are things that really don't matter. And people can get mighty upset over things that just don't matter. Things that really do not matter spiritually one way or the other. So we have to have, when it comes to contention, because there's always going to be contention, as long as there's two people on earth, there's going to be contentions, there's going to be strifes, there's going to be some discord, there's going to be some disagreement. And it takes wisdom. It takes the wisdom of God to know how to handle contention and strife. So we want to look tonight at these proverbs that deal with this subject. Notice in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12. Proverbs 10, verse 12. And we'll notice as we read these verses, there are several things that stir up strife or contention. And the first one mentioned is hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sin. Hatred is not what most people think. Almost all of God's people would deny that they have hatred in their heart for another child of God. But I'm afraid that's not true. I'm afraid that there is much hatred in the hearts of God's people toward others. It's hid many times, not all the time. But hatred is really just ill will. Ill will, ill feelings, that's part of hatred. It can be enmity, animosity, and these things have a tendency. Hatred stirreth up strife. So these things have a tendency to incite strife. They have a tendency to incite conflict, to incite friction, to incite further disagreement and concord. I want to say hatred not only stirs up strife, hatred keeps it going. The reason a lot of people never get over something is because they have hatred in their hearts. That's the reason. Hatred keeps it going. Hatred keeps the strife, keeps the contention going. You read 1 John, and there are some very strong words concerning God's people and hatred. Well, let's look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 9. What he's doing here is he's calling into question one's salvation that has hatred. In 1 John 2 and verse 9, he's really not calling the question. He's saying they're lost. He that saith he is in the light, and again, we can say anything, and hateth his brother is in darkness. No matter how much he says he's in the light, he's in darkness. He that hates his brother. 1 John chapter 3, verse 15. Whoso hateth his brother is a murderer. Now that's pretty serious. Whoso hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth
For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Hatred is a very serious thing. And hatred stirreth up strife. On the other hand, love covereth all sins. In other words, rather than provoking, rather than inciting strife, and rather than looking for an occasion to contend, and that's what hatred does. Hatred looks for an occasion to get mad. It looks for an occasion to contend. And if you, I don't care where it is, it can be in your marriage, it can be in the workplace, it can be in the church, it can be in the school. If you are looking for an occasion to contend, you'll find it. Hatred does these things. But love is just the opposite. Love desires to overlook and forgive offenses. It doesn't mean that love doesn't recognize that there are offenses. But love desires to overlook them if they can be overlooked. And to forgive them. And it just doesn't look for offense. But hatred looks for it. And when hatred looks for it, it not only stirs up contention, it keeps it alive. It'll just keep it alive. And then the evil surmising starts. You get hatred in your heart towards somebody and you begin to imagine what they're thinking. In fact, you think you know what they're thinking. And you think you know what they mean by every little action that they do. That's hatred. And again, it's a very dangerous thing. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Now, pride is an unyielding arrogance, and there are some things that we are to be unyielding in. We're to be unyielding when it comes to the truth of God's word and all that. That's not what we're talking about tonight. So pride is an unyielding arrogance, a know-it-all attitude, a know-it-all view. But on the in the contrast, the well-advised is wisdom. The well-advised is simply referring to those individuals who are humble enough to seek counsel, who are humble enough to seek some guidance, who are humble enough to seek some direction and some information. And if some people would just take the time to seek some information, a lot of contention could be avoided. If some people would just concern themselves with the facts, not what you imagine the facts to be, but with the real facts, much contention could be avoided. So it is the individual that is of a proud heart. We see in Proverbs 28 and verse 25. Proverbs 28, 25. It's this individual also that stirs up strife. In Proverbs 28, 25, he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. Hatred stirs up strife. Pride in the heart stirs up strife. A lot of contention would have died a long time ago were people just not so proud. But they will not give up their opinion. And we're not talking about biblical conviction. We're talking about opinions. And there's a big difference. And our opinions should never be the cause of disruption in the Lord's work. Now, if you want to talk biblical conviction, that's an entirely different situation. But our opinions, when we're not even talking about spiritual things, really are not worth contending over. And then in Proverbs chapter 15, Proverbs 15, verse 17, and verse 18. Better is a dinner of herbs which is very little. So it's better to have a little where love is than a stalled ox or an ox kept in a stall for fattening to be eaten later. In other words, it's speaking of plenty, abundance, and hatred therewith. So we see here love and hatred are contrasted. And then notice what it says, a wrathful man stirreth up strife. Hatred stirs up strife, pride stirs up strife, and now we see that a wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger, which is in contrast to the wrathful man, appeaseth strife. So the wrathful man. Now the wrathful man is an individual who has a hateful spirit, but it's an angry individual. And it's an individual who is filled with indignation and vengeance. In other words, they're going to let someone have it. This individual provokes and incites strife. Contrasted to that is the man who is slow to anger. He's a man of love. He's a man of patience. He's a man of forbearance. He's going to put up with the faults of others. And this individual is said, he doesn't stir up strife, but instead he appeases strife. In other words, he is able to quiet strife. When strife is rising up, this man who is slow to anger has the ability to quiet strife. In other words, he's a peacemaker. Now, the wrathful man, he's angry, and he is seeking justice. He is seeking strife, while the other individual, the man who is slow to anger, he's not seeking strife. He's seeking to quiet strife. He's seeking to end strife. So the wise individual is an individual that cultivates patience and forbearance with others and does not feed a hateful spirit, does not feed an angry spirit, because that will lead to being a wrathful man, and that individual is dangerous. That is a very dangerous individual. And then notice in Proverbs 16, verse 28, a froward man soweth strife. Hatred sows strife. Pride sows strife. Wrath sows strife or stirs strife. Here a froward man soweth, and he does so on purpose. He purposely sows the seeds that are going to lead to strife. Now, the froward individual throughout Proverbs on several different occasions is said to be an abomination to the Lord. In other words, this is an individual that is very displeasing to God. But the froward individual is a perverse individual. The froward individual is very twisted. The froward individual is irrational. He's obstinate. He's stubborn. He's just always contrary. It doesn't matter what you bring up, he's going to bring up the other side. He's just a contrary individual. And this individual purposely sows strife. It's not like they don't know what they're doing. They know exactly what they're doing. They sow strife. They cause strife. They create strife. And it's a person whose motives, of course, are always wrong. Because the motive is to cause, to create, and to bring about dissension and discord. So he's a very dangerous individual. In Proverbs 17,
verse 1. Better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifices with strife.
Again, this is the same. Better to have a little with peace than to have abundance with division. But better is a dry morsel and quietness or peace therewith. In Proverbs or Psalm 133, verse 1.
Behold how good, that is how beautiful, how bountiful, and how pleasant, that is how enjoyable it is for brethren to dwell together in unity.
Better is a dry morsel with peace. It is a beautiful, it is a good thing, it is a beautiful thing, it is a very enjoyable thing. Ephesians 4 verse 3 talks about the unity of the Spirit. There ought to always, of course, be in a church and also in a home the unity of the Holy Spirit. And we must not do anything that would break the unity of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4 verse 13 talks about the unity of faith. That is a unity of belief, a unity of doctrine. But I know of individuals who are in basic agreement doctrinally, but they fight over everything else. They insist on fighting over the things that don't matter. But don't you see, even that creates a discord and creates a division, and there's not unity. Ephesians 4 verse 3 also talks about the bond of peace. These things are very important. The unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace, the unity of faith. These are very, very important, and wisdom would dictate that we strive to keep these things, that we strive to keep the unity of the Spirit, that we strive to keep the bond of peace, that we strive to keep the unity of the faith as well. And we see in Proverbs 17 verse 1 again, better is a dry morsel and quietness or peace therewith than a house full of sacrifices. The same teaching that was taught back in Proverbs 15 and verse 17. It's better to have a little and have peace than to have an abundance and have misery and discontent. And then in Proverbs 17, verse 14. Proverbs 17, verse 14. The beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. Now notice those first few words. The beginning of strife. The very start of contention. Wisdom needs to speak in our heart that when strife, contention even begins. And again, I'm not talking about things that matter. I'm talking about things that have really no spiritual consequence whatsoever. The beginning of strife, that is the very start of strife, though it might seem like a very minor matter, it often grows. It often grows beyond control. The beginning of strife. So wisdom would dictate that you and I beware even of the very beginnings of strife, because it's like a dam that burst and it can cause great destruction. Because of this, he says, therefore, leave off contention. if it is possible. Again, it's not always possible. If it is possible, leave off contention, because the beginning of it can eventually get out of control. I've seen it happen many times. I'm sure you have also. It seems like a little matter, and then somebody begins to talk to somebody, and somebody else begins to talk to somebody else, and pretty soon a little matter is now something big. And it says, leave off contention. In other words, somebody has to be wise enough to leave it alone. The very beginning of it, just leave it alone. That is, refuse to let it gnaw away at us. Refuse to let the issue gnaw away at us. Refuse to let it smolder before it be meddled or tampered with. And that is what people do. The beginning of strife, it may be a little matter. No one leaves it alone. They continue the thing, and pretty soon people begin to tamper with it. And won't be long. You have something that is out of control. Something that is very, very destructive. So we have to have the wisdom to leave off contention. Again, I'm not talking about doctrinal truths. I'm not talking about things of great spiritual consequence. That's not what we're talking about. When it comes to other matters, we need to have, at times, we need to have the wisdom to know when to just leave it alone and just let it go. Just let it go. And it's the proud individual, the hateful individual, the wrathful individual that refuses to let it go and becomes a big problem. Proverbs 17, verse 19 says, he loveth transgression that loveth strife. And he that exalteth his gate, that's pride, seeketh destruction. Here we see that there are individuals that love strife. They love it. It says here, he loveth transgression that loveth strife. We've already seen in James chapter 3 and verse 16 that where there's strife, there's every evil work. In other words, there's plenty of sin. So the individual that loves strife, the conclusion must be he loves sin, because there's plenty of sin in that strife. So there is the individual that loves strife. He's a hateful individual. He's a proud individual. He's a wrathful individual. He may be a very froward individual. He also has no fear of sin. He invites it into his life. And then in Proverbs 18, verse 6, a fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. This, of course, fool's lips, of course, has reference to the ones we talked about the last couple of weeks, one who is very hasty in what he or she says, does not speaks thoughtlessly without due care, without due consideration. They just speak whatever's on their mind. And this individual is very quick to enter into contention. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 3, says that it is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. It is an honor. That is, it's upright. It is a manifestation of good character for one to have the wisdom enough to cease from strife. That is, to halt it, to put a stop to it, to bring an end to it. It is an act of virtue. It is an act of virtue to prevent strife. It is an act of virtue to put an end to unnecessary and unprofitable strife or contention. On the other hand, we read that every fool will be meddling. That is, the fool is willing to carry on the debate. And he's going to carry on the debate until everybody agrees with him. And if it takes the rest of his life to carry it on just so everybody agrees with him, that's what he'll do. He's a fool. And the individual is very destructive. Every fool will be meddling. That is, he's going to carry on the debate or the contention, though it be of no profit whatsoever, though it be of no benefit whatsoever. He's right, everybody else is wrong, it's got to be done my way or the highway. That individual's a fool. And that individual causes much destruction. In Proverbs 25, verse 8, and there are many pastors who have been guilty over the years of my way or the highway about everything. They're fools. It's what the Bible says. They carry on a debate over things that do not matter. In Proverbs chapter 25, verse 8, it says, go not forth hastily to strife. That is, if you're going to enter into contention, give it serious thought. Give it very serious thought. Pick your battles. There's a lot of battles that just aren't worth it. And what amazes me today is the battles that are worth fighting, very few people are fighting. And the battles that really don't matter, everybody's willing to take up arms. But if we have some wisdom, go not forth hastily to strive. That is, consider the cost, and we must consider the cost. A man who is wise considers the cost before he goes to war. He considers the cost before he builds a house. You need to consider the cost. If a pastor or another church member wants to contend about something, they need to consider the cost. Is it worth splitting the church? We need to consider, is it worth it? It is, and sometimes churches need to be split. There's no question about that. Sometimes splits are absolutely necessary for doctrinal purity, for holiness, and for spiritual matters. Those are very necessary things. And people need to stand. And it may result in people leaving. It may result in splits. But sometimes those things are necessary. But there are also splits and divisions and discord that really isn't necessary. It's not necessary at all if someone would just have the wisdom enough to put a stop to it and say, I'm done with it. I'm not going to carry on this debate any longer. In Proverbs 26 and verse 17, Proverbs 26, verse 17. He that passeth by and meddleth with strife belonging not to him is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. The simple lesson here is that the individual who enters into strife that is unnecessary for him to enter into, or enters into strife that really is none of his business, that individual exposes himself to needless danger. That individual exposes himself to needless harm. And then in Proverbs chapter 26, verse 21, as coals are to burning coals, and as wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. Now we have another thing that stirs or kindles strife. A contentious man. One who is of a contentious spirit. He seems to enjoy contention, and he freely and very willingly enters into it, wherever it is, this individual is like charcoal and wood to a fire. In other words, they keep the fire burning. He strives to keep the flames of contention burning all the time. And there are a lot of people like that. It may not even be their battle, but they are willing to keep the contention burning between, or keep the contention going between two other individuals. And they'll do everything they can to keep it going. And then in Proverbs 29 and verse 22, an angry man stirreth up strife. So we see anger is another thing that stirs up strife. And a furious man aboundeth in transgression. Now, an angry man is one who possesses strong feelings of hostility, strong feelings of opposition, and such an individual is very prone to provoke and incite strife. But then notice it mentions a furious man. And I believe that's a step further. That's an advance of an angry man. A furious man is one who is full of angry energy. He is going to express his anger. And such an individual abounds in sin. A furious man is the result of anger progressing. It is a result of feeding anger. You get angry and you go home and think about what you're mad about for a couple hours and you just feed it and feed it and feed it. Pretty soon you become furious. And a furious man abounds in transgression. He abounds in sin. So anger, and anger progressing, is very prone to stir up strife. And then lastly, in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 33, surely the churning of milk bringeth forth butter, and the wringing of the nose, the twisting of the nose, bringeth forth blood. Two certainties are presented. The churning of milk brings forth butter. The wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood. These two certainties are presented for the sake of an analogy. He goes on and says, so the forcing of wrath bringeth forth strife. And what this means is the forcing of wrath. Wrath in another individual is passion. It's a passion. It's a passion to show vengeance. It's something that somebody is going to get angry about. A foolish individual forces wrath. And the word forcing there simply means irritating or provoking. Just as the churning of milk brings forth butter, just as the wringing of the nose brings forth blood, so the irritating and provoking of wrath bringeth forth strife. You know what pushes somebody's buttons and you purposely go and push them. That's what this is talking about. It is irritating and provoking wrath. You know what makes an individual angry, and you do it anyway. You go out of your way to do it. You do it to get a response from them. Husbands and wives are terribly guilty of this, of forcing of wrath. You know what you're about to say is going to stir up a storm, but you're going to say it anyway. The forcing of wrath bringeth forth strife. And if you're around people long enough, if you are awake and you aren't oblivious, you realize there are certain things that bother people. And you do not go out of your way to purposely do those things. And there are individuals that are guilty of that. So we see From these proverbs, we learn that hatred, pride, wrath, frowardness, a contentious spirit, and anger, all of these things stir up strife. So wisdom would dictate that we do not feed any of these things, and that we seek to avoid all of these things so that we will not be guilty of provoking, that we will not be guilty of inciting, causing, creating, bringing about unnecessary strife. Paul said in Philippians 2 and verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Let nothing be done through strife. Nothing. Doesn't matter what it is. Even if it's contending for the truth, it's not to be done through strife. It is to be done with a right motive. And that, of course, would be for the honor and glory of God. So one who possesses the wisdom that is from above will seek to avoid all of those things that provoke contention. Again, it's a beautiful and it's an enjoyable thing for brethren to dwell together in unity. And there will always be individuals that come along who are masterful. They are masterful at sowing discord. They are masterful at stirring up strength, usually about things that don't matter. They may start by asking a question, what do you think about such and such? And you answer the question, and they'll say, well, so-and-so thinks just the opposite. What are they getting at? What are they trying to do? They're trying to stir up strife. And then that individual will go to the other individual. And pretty soon, you have contention. And contention will destroy a home. Contention will destroy a church. Contention will destroy anything. It is very, very destructive, and wisdom dictates that we do not provoke contention. Instead, we are to provoke one another unto love. We're to provoke one another unto love. So God help us to have the wisdom to know what it is that's worth contending for, and when it's time to contend for it. And let us have the wisdom enough to know that certain battles just aren't worth even getting into. And that we would have the wisdom to cease, even from the beginning of strife. That we would have the wisdom, that we would have the humility and the grace to just drop it and to walk away from it on things that really just don't matter. Brother Mark, if you'd come.